Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of The Measuring Post. Joe Massey here, in a place where we can learn and grow together. And today I've got a very special guest. She is the publisher of Fierce and Fearless Entrepreneur magazine. It is a bold, purpose-driven platform that spotlights not only women, but also men who lead with authenticity and impact. She is a survivor of domestic violence and sexual abuse. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But she turned that adversity into fuel for empowering others around her. She's an entrepreneur, a storyteller, and an advocate for collaborating over competition, which I absolutely love. Please welcome Sierra Lewis to The Measuring Post. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I appreciate you giving me some time and really excited to learn a little bit more about your history, your background, and then obviously the launch of your new magazine, which is called Fierce and Fearless Entrepreneur, Entrepreneur Magazine. And it's about turning adversity into something empowering, which I really, really love the idea of that. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how the magazine came to be.
So my name is Sierra. I'm from Kentucky. And I'm from the Central Part. So I have an 18-year-old daughter who is now in college and thinks she's grown. So that's been fun. And I have, like you said, I've been through a lot of challenges from just young into currently. And so a lot of my challenges started with, like you said, being in the male-dominated field. I'm definitely a victim of domestic violence. And so between all of that, I think has been what has really inspired me to start this magazine. And it has, it's truly strengthened me, I guess. So I managed to take all of that negativity and find a way to turn it into a positive and be able to turn that around to help others. So that's a little bit about me.
Yeah. So you talk about being sort of overlooked in a male dominated field. What field were you primarily in that sort of led to that exclusion of you being considered like a thought leader or somebody of influence in that sphere? What was the industry you were working in?
The first one was the car industry. And then another industry was it was like a paper company. So we did boxes. So both it was a factory and I think the most challenging one for me was at the car industry, more so because, you know, you don't really see a lot of female sales reps at a car industry. And so I guess they thought that they were going to push me out or they were going to take half of my sales. And so when they realized that I was not the one, they didn't like that very well. And I had, I was actually the only one that could get the trucks off the lot. So that really became a major problem because, you know, of course, what man doesn't want to be able to get, you know, the trucks, right? The most fancy thing off the lot. And so when I would sell the trucks, they would literally try to take any portion of the sales that they could. And for the longest in the beginning, it worked. Until one day my boss actually realized what was happening and he actually stepped in and, you know, said, hey, this is not going to happen anymore because I was able to do the sales by myself. However, they may have had to have done something like, a small piece of paperwork or they may have had to drive the truck around, you know, just something very minor, nothing that would have really qualified for them to have gotten half of the sale. And when my boss realized that that's what they were doing and that was the only thing they were doing, he had then said, you know, this is not how this works. We don't get half sales for this. So he really stepped up for me. And from that day forward, no one was allowed to get on any part of my sale, regardless, just because of the way they were trying to do me. And so that was really, that was the game changer for me right there. So that let me know that, you know, one, it is a challenge to work in a male-dominated field, but two, we do have men that actually do look out for us, men that do realize that we are not treated the same. And so, you know, when my boss stepped up for me that day, when my boss really seen what was going on, but he seen that I was still willing to put in the work, he done something that I really wasn't used to seeing men actually do. And that meant a lot to me. And so I think that right there was the day that changed a lot for me, just being able to see that interaction between me and a male-dominated figure.
Yeah, and I love that part of the story because it is really uncommon. It's really easy to overlook the fact that there are men and gentlemen that will step up and really be a protector and or advocate for somebody that's not being treated fairly. And it's really common. It's unfortunate, especially in more male-dominated industries like the car industry. You're 100% right. That's typically going to be more male-dominated. But, you know, again, it's important to not only advocate for yourself, but to keep an eye out for the people that you work with in your community, your friends, your family, that may be being treated unfairly and poorly and not giving or getting what they deserve. I mean, to drive a car around and expect half of a sale for that is pretty ridiculous. So I'm very happy to hear that somebody was there for you and able to sort of step up and say, no, this is unacceptable. But I also love what you said there, that he noticed that you were still willing to come in and do that work, even though you weren't really being treated fairly. You weren't going to be bullied. You weren't going to be pushed out. So your perseverance and your attitude gave him the insight that, hey, she's valuable. We want to take care of her. So I really love that you stood your ground, but then were recognized by somebody that was, you know, in charge and said enough is enough. So, you know, kudos to both of that. So how long after you decided that the car industry was no longer for you, you went into the paper industry, where was this thought process of that you want to start your own thing, a magazine to empower women, but also then you turn into like have a section for men as well. We'll get into that. But is this like a long time dream of yours or something that kind of fell in your lap and just said, you know, why not?
No, this has definitely been, I think, something that has been burning inside of me for a long time. Like I said, more so just from all the experiences that I had, I just never truly knew how to go about it, what angle to come in with it at. And so I'm also a writer. And so I think that that's what done it for me, is I was like, hey, you know what? What better way to create something that is like a healing process that a lot of people don't understand? For me, writing saved my life. And so I wanted to be able to create a platform to where not only women could come and share their stories, have their voices heard and be seen, but a collaboration to where we can also work together with men, and men have their voices heard and their story, because at the end of the day, we work better together than divided. And I think that society has tried so hard to keep us divided that, you know, we kind of forget that we are supposed to work together. So that's the reason I created the magazine, is because I want to create something different. I want to break that barrier of this negative competition, the division between both male and female, or even just the female environment in general, and just let people know that, you know, there's enough room for all of us at the table, and, you know, we can create something much more beautiful together.
I love that, because it is really easy to feel like we're against each other. And, you know, the current climate today is very competitive, but we do really complement each other well. That's sort of the original design, that men and women were not supposed to be the exact same. Women are much better at certain things. Men are better at certain things. But together, we can really build this amazing ecosystem where, you're right, we can all thrive together. So I love that you're inspiring and looking for collaboration instead of saying, boo men or boo women. It's more of like, let's all come together. Let's sit at the same table and let's figure this out, because really we have more in common than we don't, I think. But it's really easy to say, you know, that's not the case right now, especially if you're sitting there watching the news or the media all day long. It makes it seem like we're all at war with each other. But when you have conversations like this, we really are not. We really do get along much better than people give us credit for. So I think that it's a really great idea for a platform, and it's relatively new, right? You just launched this in July of this year, correct?
Yes, that's correct. I did.
And is this something that's only available online? I know it's Entrepreneur Magazine. Is it available in print? Like I could go to a local bookstore and pick them up, or is that something that's on the roadmap for you?
It is in print. We have not actually managed to get them in actual stores yet. That is something that is in the works. However, you can get the print copy, but you have to order it online to get the print copy. So it is digital and print, but it is not physically in the stores yet, which is what we are working on.
Gotcha. And you can find that at fearlessandfearlessentrepreneur.com. We'll put links around that, you know, this video when it's released. But what sort of stories and items are in this magazine that would someone would want to read about? Is it about everyone's individual stories? Is it opportunities, collaboration ideas? Sort of what's the gist behind the power of this magazine?
So, we have a mixture of everything in here. We have a lot of business strategies, tips, dress attire. We also have ways of, like you said, collaboration, job opportunities. There's a lot of different stories in here. And of course, a lot of them are personal stories as well of how a lot of women started their business, their products, and how to, you know, reach them to get those products. We have some people that have courses. There's a lot of different things in here that we have. I'm definitely excited for the men's portion because that is definitely going to be a new addition. And so we will get to see a different side of how everything will go with the men's section and those type of stories and what they bring to the table.
Yeah. So I was going to lead into that. So we're looking, you're calling that the Men of Impact Spotlight.
Yes.
So essentially the idea behind the magazine, Fierce and Fearless, and I want to talk to you about the name because I love the name, by the way, but it's primarily originated with the idea of empowering women, certainly ones that have gone through struggles similar to what you experienced in your personal life. But what made you decide to add the men's factor into that? Is it simply because of someone like your ex-boss that sort of stepped up for you, or just the idea that it's time to bring everybody together?
It's actually a mixture of everything, but I'll tell you, I think what done it for me is I have had more men approach me about this magazine and question me. And I guess that's kind of what really shocked me, is because I'm like, I didn't think men would be that interested, but I think the men were starting to kind of feel left out. And that was definitely not my intent when I started this. And so, like I said, I definitely think we all work better together. So it really kind of excited me and, you know, lit a different fire under my feet when I had, you know, men asking about it, you know, wanting to be a part of it. And so I was trying to figure out the best way to do that. And so that's why I came up with this section, because I want to create something bigger down the road. But I definitely wanted to start out with this section within the magazine for the men, so we can kind of slowly add that collaboration in.
Yeah, and I think it's important to recognize that, you know, us as men, when we see something like this, a magazine like this, that it's not, we shouldn't be like in a rush to try to get in and get our face on it, when this is more for you and your, you know, the women folk and listeners. And I love all that. But I also love that the interests are like, this is a great idea, and they want to be involved with something really amazing that you're making. So I think it's a testament of the quality of the product that you're putting out there, that people of all walks of life are like, you know, pick me, I'd like to be in here. So I think that's really cool. And it just shows the value that you're bringing to this space. And obviously, I think it's women tend to be overlooked in a lot of categories. So I love that you're building a platform for women to share and empower each other. But I love that the men can now come in and support and also like be a part of it, because I think it really is very valuable. But that gives me a quick question. The name. What does it mean to be fierce and fearless? I love the name. I think it's very powerful. But what sparked the name, and what does that mean to you?
To me, fierce and fearless means failing time and time again. Getting up, regrouping, rebuilding, re-strengthening. Being able to take all your constructive criticism and your no's and turn those into something positive. Being able to stand tall no matter what it is that you're being faced with. Basically, just never letting life get you down. Even when you do fall, just get back up. I mean, you may not get up like you intended on getting up, but as long as you're getting up, that means you're one step ahead. You've accomplished something. Fierce and fearless means to me holding the hand of someone else, helping that next person next to you. Being a guide, being a leader, being whatever it takes to help someone else, not just solely focusing up on yourself or your accomplishments, trying to help someone else get to that next level as well. That's basically how I feel when I think of fierce and fearless.
I love what you said about holding the hand of the person next to you and helping them come up too, because one thing I found in my own personal journey, and one of the reasons why I started this podcast specifically, was that telling other people's stories and helping them find success and helping those around me in my community be better and build up, it ultimately always comes back to me. It makes me better. I learn from people that share their stories. And that's really why I wanted you on this show and why I bring other guests onto the podcast. Uh-huh. It's because when you hear somebody's experiences and their mindset and the way that they position themselves in their communities, you can really learn a lot. But I think there's something very powerful in watching somebody execute their dream and then helping those around them to rise up with them. That's a very, very misunderstood way of leading people that is lost a lot. And I think that it's really important to lead that way first. Lead with value, and then value will definitely come back to you. And I really love your personal mantra. And let me make sure I got this right. It's be you, be bold, be fierce, be fearless, be unstoppable.
Yes.
I mean, that pretty much sums up everything that you would want for yourself, right? I love
that.
Yeah,
absolutely. So,
being unstoppable. And I love that, you know, you've built this whole brand, you know, because you overcame so much in your life. So what lessons would you share with entrepreneurs who are tuning in right now just about, you know, how to go forward and how to find your passion and your dreams?
Number one thing that I had to learn the hard way is you have to remember that not everybody's in your corner. Sometimes you have to be your own cheerleader. You have to take a journey by yourself. It's not always meant for someone to travel with you. Definitely take that time and that space for yourself to kind of reconnect with your inner self so that you remember who you truly are, what your true purpose is, and what you are assigned to do. I think once we realize that, it really truthfully helps us to go out and accomplish exactly what we are trying to accomplish. It then allows you to align with the right tribe and the right people that you need to be aligned with to make your mission happen. I definitely think that you should listen to your heart and your mind, but definitely your heart, because your heart is going to be what really connects you to where you're going in your journey. Your heart is going to speak to you first and foremost about anything, because if your heart isn't comfortable, then it's definitely a no-go. If your heart feels at peace, basically everything else aligns in with that, then 9 times out of 10, you should definitely go for it. You don't have to rush. Take your time. Do not make vast decisions, because I'll tell you, that is definitely what has gotten me into a couple predicaments, is trying to rush. I've had trouble with patience for a long time, but once I started both of my businesses, I have kind of learned to be patient, and patience will take you a long way when you finally master that.
Yeah, I've definitely been in that same boat where you rush to some sort of action or decision without really processing it. And, you know, you put the wheels in motion a bit too early, and then all of a sudden you got to backtrack, and, you know, it becomes a bigger headache than if you just actually slowed down for a minute and processed. But again, I think that's also that happens from passion, when you're really excited about an idea and you go for it gung ho and you're like, hey, I'm going to, you know, 100% in. That's great, because you found something that's authentically you and you're being passionate about it. But do it in a smart way and save yourself a lot of headache, because I definitely have been in that same boat as you are right there, for sure.
Yes.
So you said you started 2 businesses. So I know you got the magazine. What's the other business that you're running?
It's a medical billing company, KL Consulting, LLC.
Very nice. And how long have you been doing that?
Right at about 5 years now.
Very nice. So is that something that you're able to sort of do like remotely, and then that sort of funds the magazine? Is that sort of the dynamic?
Yes. Well, I'm actually trying to offset the billing a little more, because I really more so want to focus on the magazine. So I actually have a team that comes in and kind of helps with that. And the billing spectrum of things, so that way I can put more of my focus on the magazine.
Nice. Yeah, so definitely that's going to be your sort of future, your passion project is the magazine. So what other ways do you find funding for the magazine? Is it through sponsorships? Can people buy ad space in your magazines? How can you offset some of that cost and make this sort of grow and start to really thrive?
Yes. So we are always looking for sponsors or advertisers, even people, like I said, that just want to come and share their story. So even if it's not a specific ad and you have an article or a special event that you want to talk about, we are definitely always looking for people to do that. We currently do have a couple of people that actually do monthly features in the magazine. So they pay like a monthly fee to advertise in there. So they're able to put either a 2-page article in there or a 1-page article and an ad, just however they choose to, sponsor that month. And then in return, they will get like a free merchandise item. They get put on our, not sponsor list, our directory listing. They get put in our merchant, so they'll get a free merchandise item and then a free digital copy of the magazine or a free print copy of the magazine. Now, if they do just a 1-page, like a one-time 1-page, then you get a free digital copy.
Very nice. So where do you see the future of Fierce and Fearless Entrepreneur Magazine going? Now, I know from my understanding, the desire is to like make some local chapters where people
Yes.
can be in like local cities. Is that correct? Like they can actually have somewhere to go to build these collaboration ideas out. Is there any roadmap or timeline for some of those cities?
Yes. So we're actually looking at probably springtime of next year. I'm already in collaboration with a couple of people in a couple of different states to kind of hopefully get this up and going. Hopefully by spring next year, we can actually start to see this fruition.
Yeah. And again, I'm in Colorado. If there's any way I can help and introduce you to some people out here, I love this idea and would love to get you introduced to some people in our network that obviously we can expand upon this, because I think it's such a valuable service and it really highlights what needs to happen to build a more inclusive, better, stronger community of entrepreneurs. It needs to span everybody. And I think you're doing such a great job of putting that together that a local chapter, I think, would be really powerful, because some people still a little more old school. They like that one-on-one human interaction and connection and shaking actual hands instead of, keyboard warriors and typing all the time. And obviously the younger generation, they don't have that skill set as much, but it's important, I think, to be able to be in person. I know you talked about having an 18-year-old. Our son is 18 also. He just went to college this year as well. So I definitely know exactly where you're at with that, but it's a different dynamic when you're talking to teenagers. And
yes.
My daughter is even younger. She's 12.
Oh,
and it's
okay.
Like, oh, Lord.
Yeah,
it's an experience for sure. Definitely different.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And I'm definitely old school. My mom laughs at me. Yeah, because she's like, you're definitely an old soul. She'll be like, are you sure you were born in 89? I'm like, yeah, I definitely like to do things the old school way. So trying to get in with this newer generation and how things go nowadays, it's a really challenge for me a lot of times, because it's just not how I'm used to doing things. And somebody asked me the other day, they said, are you still cold calling? Yes, I am. Because I like to interact. I like to actually see and talk to, my clients. I wouldn't expect somebody to just be like, hey, I want to be a part of that. And they know nothing about, who I am or what I'm doing. So yeah, I'm definitely old school.
It is amazing too, when you actually get on a phone call instead of an email or a text or a direct message, if you actually talk to somebody on the phone, you can get way more done, way quicker.
Absolutely.
It's a skill set that's definitely lost on the younger generation. But if you're younger, than us and you're in your teens or 20s and you're listening, pick up the phone. I promise you it will benefit you so much, not only to learn how to have conversations like that, but also people are much more receptive when you got them on the phone. It's an accountability thing. I don't know what it is, but it's a skill set that needs to come back, especially in the business world.
I agree. Yes.
So when you're not running the magazine or doing billing, what's Sierra all about? What brings you joy? How do you stay grounded in your faith, your family, your personal rituals? What do you like to do when you're not working? And what sort of rounds you out and keeps you going?
I do still write from time to time. I used to write poetry, and so I published my first solo book, which is a poetry book, back in June, The Anchor Holds. But now I will I go outside and ground, so I can just kind of keep myself actually grounded and reminded of, I'm okay. Like, even though everything may be on fire, I'm still okay. I do take the weekends. I used to have a rough time doing that because I'm obviously a workaholic, especially working two businesses. But I do try to take my weekends now and just, take that breath, enjoy that moment, enjoy the time with my daughter, my mom. She's actually inviting me places now, so that's exciting. She invited me to the football game, and so I just try to enjoy these moments because they won't last forever. So that's how I usually spend my time.
Yeah, and I think it's so important. And I love that you said grounding, because if you're unfamiliar with that, it's literally when you just go walk out and put your bare feet on the ground and just be part of earth and just like experience nature and get a little sun on your face. And there's something very powerful about taking a deep breath of fresh air and getting some sunlight. It's good for your physical health, it's good for your mental health, and it's really good. There's a lot of people that will go way deeper into it and talk about the cosmic stars. My sister-in-law is one of those that's like astrology master, knows everybody's sign and the year of the dog or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know about all that. I just know it makes me feel good when I do things like that. And then just being with your family, obviously. And again, getting invited by your daughter or son somewhere, that's a big win, because you're right. The older they get, they're like, stay over there. You're
Yes.
embarrassing. It's even more so when they're like 12 or 13, you know. I feel
Yes.
like my son, now that he's 18, he's kind of coming back around. But my daughter's like, get away from me, Dad. You're like an old man. And I'm like,
Yep.
oh, I used to be cool. But go out and ground. I think that's really important. So what would you tell listeners right now, or anybody that's trying to be an entrepreneur, if they're feeling unseen or stuck? What's like one piece of actionable advice that you give to people in your network when they're going, Sierra, I'm just really trying to find myself? What do you tell them?
I tell them to make a list, pros and cons, and what makes you strong, what makes you weak, what exactly is it that you want to do, what have you done so far, and what do you plan on doing? Because the first step in being an entrepreneur is obviously an action plan, putting it into action. So not just having the idea, but actually starting to put that idea and that plan into action. Have you conversated with people that are in the same space as you? Have you attended any networking events? Have you done any type of advertising? Like, you've got to start putting yourself out there and thinking like in the next steps as to how you're going to get yourself to that position you want to be at.
Yeah, and I've talked about that very something very similar in some of my previous podcasts. I think the five most important qualities for life in general, but certainly for business and entrepreneurial stuff, you have to have the vision first. If you got
Yes.
to know what you want and what you're trying to get to, right? If you don't
Yes.
have a clear vision, you're never going to be able to put the steps in place to get there. But
Yep.
then you have to have the effort, the consistency, you have to be able to reflect, and then you have to be able to adapt. And I
Yes.
think that's pretty much exactly what you're talking about. You got to have those lists of knowing where you're going, put in the effort to get there, get yourself out there consistently. And then you have to be able to look in the mirror and go, is what I'm doing working or not? That's the tough one for most people. It's saying, because everyone likes to think they're perfect. And my much of very similar to that. I don't like to look at myself and think I'm messing up, but you have to be able to reflect honestly with yourself and then adapt. And if you do that, anything is possible, whether it's personal, professional, physically, mentally, emotionally. We're much stronger and more powerful. And actually, I would go as far as to say fierce and fearless. We can be fierce and fearless if we live that way. So I love that you're building this community, and I think it's so important for people to witness this. So again, that's fierceandfearlessentrepreneur.com. And I really excited to see where this goes. I mean, so you've really only got like three or four episode or editions out. Is it monthly, weekly? When is the release schedule for the magazine?
Yes, it's monthly. They come out the first of each month. December is actually our 6 month anniversary, which I'm super excited because I didn't pay attention before because I'm not really a materialistic person. I'm just here to do what I was assigned to do, which is connect people together. And so when somebody's like, you realize this means you'll have 6 months of a creditable a ma magazine. And I'm like, oh no, I didn't pay attention to that. And so what we're doing for that is we are doing our sponsorship giveaway to where our sponsors either donate a item or a service of their choice, and in return we're providing free advertising. So they would get a feature in the November and the December issue, featured on our social media and our website. And then they would get mentioned in our end of year press release and our virtual event for the end of the year. So really huge opportunity and very exciting. We probably already got over 20 sponsors so far. And I think this is just a fantastic way to not only help promote businesses and get them seen out there, but, you know, again, help people to be able to share their story and their voices at the same time.
That's a brilliant idea. That's a great piece of co-marketing and a great way to find and collaborate with different networks. And smart, you know, this is one of those valuable business lessons that we talk about that's also showing you being consistent and reaching out to networks and cold calling, if you will, because that's a form of that. Even if you're not randomly cold calling a number, you're reaching out to people and saying, give me something to give to my readers and I'll give you something to reward you. It's sort of that barter system that's also a lost art.
Yes.
It's amazing. You can get a lot done if you're willing to put a little work in like, hey, scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. There's still a lot of value in that way of doing business. And that's kind of an old school traditional way of doing business that's lost in translation. Now everybody's an influencer and, you know, cash at me this and Venmo me that. But it's like, it's amazing if you work together and do that collaboration that you're talking about, you can get quite a bit done. So yeah. A couple of questions on not only what's your, like, how do people subscribe? Is it like a monthly subscription? Do they buy magazines one at a time? What's the way that we can share your magazine with our listeners?
Yes. So we are actually in the process of getting the actual subscription part set up, which will actually be on the website. You can't, like I said, it's on like Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Target, Walmart. It's on all the major platforms. Again, it's available digital or you can purchase a print copy. But yes, we are in the process of getting the subscription set up because we have actually had a lot of requests for that. And I think once we get the subscription set up, that's going to be very helpful for a lot of people because I have even people that are participating in the magazine, they are wanting to buy several copies at one time to, you know, obviously share their story that they put in there or whatever it is that they have in there. And so I think that having that subscription is going to be a huge deal for this magazine. So that's what we are in the process of getting set up so that people can do that.
Yeah, I definitely think that's a very smart way to go about it. And obviously, then people can sort of set it and forget it and go, look, I love the magazine. Now it's coming to me every month. I don't have to worry about it. If I were to order a hard copy of that, how long does that usually take? And I know that's a bit loaded of a question because if you're in New York versus if you're in Canada, maybe different. But on average, does that go out pretty much the same day, next day, pretty quick to get them?
Oh, yeah. Usually it's pretty quick. I would say probably not even a week, if even that. So, yeah, I mean, once you order, it's like get it in, get out. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm very excited about this because I actually run a separate business also outside of running a podcast. I run a podcast network where we do all kinds of stuff with different shows. And I think I've got some good things that I could add to your giveaway for December. I think it's really an awesome opportunity. And I would love to get involved more with fierceandfearlessentrepreneur.com. Again, that's where you can find the magazine, get your digital copies. You can order your hard copies there as well on social media platforms at Fierce and Fearless Entrepreneur. So again, I will add links all around this video when it's released so people can easily find you. But yeah, I really appreciate you coming on to the Measuring Post today. I love what you're doing. I think the networks and the collaborations you're building are extremely valuable and important. And I can't wait to see what comes next for you guys. And I think you've got such a great attitude. And I love how you took a personal tragedy and turned it into something very empowering. And you're reminding people that it doesn't always matter what you go through. It's how you come out of it that really matters. And I think that you've shown that even going through violence and abuse and being discriminated against by male-dominated fields and being sort of overlooked, that you have not only built one, but two businesses out of this sort of, you know, your history. And that's a true testament to your grit and grind. And I love it. So, yeah. Is there anything you would like to sort of end with and share before we wrap up today?
I can say that we also have our co-anthology that will release December the 13th. I'm beyond the word excited for that. It's again going to be another powerful movement for women. We'll probably definitely look at doing one for the men, especially now that we are incorporating that into the magazine. But this co-anthology is called Fierce, Fearless Phoenix Rises from the Ashes. And like I said, it's just another powerful way for women to share their true, authentic story from how they got where they started to where they are now. Instead of people just focusing on the shiny things that we have or, you know, the things that we do, for people to truly realize that we had to go through some things to get where we are. So that's another exciting piece that we do have coming in December.
Yes, please keep me posted on that. I would love to share that when that's available, when you have all the details dialed in. But for now, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you for sharing your story and your business with us here at The Measuring Post. And I can't wait to see where this goes next. So appreciate you, Sierra, for coming on to The Measuring Post.
Thank you.